Certainly, again, want to express the blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord and the privilege that we have in this country, and one that most of us sitting here have had the entirety of our life, whether we've taken advantage of that great blessing or not. There are places in the world where that blessing's not even available. So if you're here today and God has blessed you to be here, we're thankful to have you and pray that your heart might be tuned into God's word and that it might be something that we certainly take advantage of as long as God blesses us to have that liberty and that freedom here in this nation. And like I said, that day may change and in the times to come. I made mention a little bit ago that I certainly need your prayers this morning. I had arthroscopic surgery on my knee for the second time. I had it 15 years ago, and I had it Thursday, and I've had some issues that Brother Darrell said I asked me if I was going to preach to washed in the blood. I've had a lot of bleeding problems this last 2 days, and finally, as of this morning, it's much better. And anyway, very thankful to be here. For those women that don't like to wear hose, I have a whole new appreciation for that since I'm wearing these compression hose on my legs at the present time. So very thankful that it's not an everyday thing that I have to do, and I understand the dislike and the discomfort that you might have with these things. But anyway, pray for me as I stand before you. I've had a number of thoughts, and one of the thoughts that I have on my mind this morning, it pertains to begin with to the truth. You know, we live in a time where it seems as though the truth's not important in anything. I'm not just talking about in the doctrinal way to heaven. I'm talking about in the land over. Listen to the candidates, the political candidates today, and all the rhetoric that's going on. And, you know, we're told in John chapter 8 that Satan himself is the father of lies. It's unfortunate that even the children of God so often get caught up in believing a lie rather than the truth. Why is the truth so hard to believe? In some cases, the truth is so simple that man just will not have it. He just can't understand it. It just seems to be foreign to him. It's just so simple. And to some extent, I consider that to be the same thing of those who have joined the church, those who've come to understand that the way to heaven is by God's grace and God's grace alone, but the way of life today is by God's grace and God's grace alone. We're told that the letter killeth. You know, I'm amazed, and this is not really where I'm going to go this morning, but I'm amazed that we are no different than the Pharisees was, many in the church today, and not just the Primitive Baptist Church, than it ever has been. We cannot part with the letter. Rules and laws and regulations attract us in a major way. You know, and really it gets down to motivation. Are you keeping the law so you can be a better Christian? So you can elevate yourself up and believe that you're one of those special people that's doing everything that God would have you to do? But you know, that was given a long shot for thousands of years, was it not? And it wasn't going to work. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled the law to the jot and to the tittle. Some people will go on and say, you old Baptists believe this. And maybe when we begin to talk about grace, I talked to Brother Don Richards this morning. And I said, I believe grace is the most misunderstood word in the entire Bible. It throws everything out the window. It really does. Well, what are you saying then? Shall we go and sin more that we might receive more grace? That's the answer we'll get. But I tell you, grace throws the laws and the rules and traditions out the window. And this is the truth, whether we comprehend it or whether we can understand it. But the truth is important no matter what respect, whether it's how we go to heaven, how we become a child of God. If you're here today, I truly believe that God has touched your heart. You know, you didn't come here because one day you got enough of living in this vile, wretched, low ground of sin and sorrow, committing sin, doing wrong, and you woke up one morning and you just turned over a new leaf and decided to take a new path. You know, there's a lot in the world that have that idea, that we finally get to a point, or somebody leads us to that point, or somebody talks some sense into our minds, and we just finally get to the point that we're going to straighten up and we're going to walk down the straight and narrow line. We're going to join the church. But if you're here today, I'm telling you, you're here because God had performed a miracle upon you at some given time in your life. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward usward who believe? According to the mighty working of his power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Do you understand that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you had resurrection power worked upon you, that great miracle? You were resurrected from death and trespasses and sins to life in Christ, and you believe in him now. Does that mean you walk the straight and narrow, or you do it all right? No, sir, it doesn't. But until you've been given life, you will not act. You will not behave right. We never were going to be able to behave right. We don't behave right now. We were told, as according as he has chosen us in him, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Well, you know we're not holy, but God sees us as holy. You know we're not blameless, but we're blameless because of one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all dependent, was depending upon his everlasting love, a love that he's had for his people without end. He's always loved them from everlasting to everlasting. Now, we talk about the truth in a lot of senses. As I said, that you see in the political realm and out in the world today that truth is not important to a lot of folks. They don't care about the truth. And I mean truth in any area of life. They don't care about the truth. It's not important to them. You know, in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6, I believe it was, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that was right in his own eyes. You know, I'm here to tell you, there's a king in Israel today. There was a king in Israel then. They just didn't recognize him. There's a king in Israel that sits upon his throne in glory. He rules and he reigns in heaven today. And we ought to follow his way because of his everlasting love for you and I. We ought to be motivated to do the best we can because of the great love he had for us. Not so we could be the best Christian, or not so we could exercise our faith over someone else's and condemn them because of what he done for us. That ought to be all it takes. That ought to be all you need. What he done for you. You know, if you're like me and you look back on the past of your life and you see all the wretched, undone sins that I feel like I have no business being in a church or speaking to you, I tell you, you know what the Lord done for you. You know. And you know without him, you would have no hope. You wouldn't be here. And you see the greatness of his mercy. You see that he's a God who is compassionate. His mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. This is grace. They're new every morning. Are our compassions and our grace new for each other every morning? That's why Jesus fulfilled the law to the jot and the tittle. His mercy is new every morning, and his compassions fail not. They never fail. Our mercies are not new toward one another every morning, and our compassion towards one another oftentimes fails. But aren't you thankful that it doesn't fail with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now I'm going to go and look at a truth. As I stated this morning, I believe if you're here and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because he has touched you and worked a work of a miracle in your life. You've been resurrected from death and trespasses and sins. You know, I can't tell you how amazed that I am about the truth and how much disregard is given to the truth, or at least what Jesus said. It's not new today. This has been ongoing for many, many years. Let's notice in John chapter 10, these verses are very familiar. It says in verse 25, Jesus answered and said, I told you, and you believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now he's going to begin to give us some truths here that we can go nowhere else with. He said, my sheep hear my voice. He didn't say, I'll come to know my sheep, or someday my sheep will hear my voice. He just said, my sheep hear my voice. We're told in John chapter 5 and verse 25, verily, verily, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of God, and they that hear shall live. Who is it that hears? My sheep shall hear my voice. They hear it. There's no questions about it. When he calls you out of a state of death and trespasses and sins to a life in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's immediate. It's effectual. It's not weighing down upon your good decision or whatever you might think about it, or that me as the preacher or some neighbor friend gets to you. My sheep hear my voice. Further on, he goes to say that I know them. Interesting, isn't it? You know, if you listen to the world today, Jesus doesn't know who's going to be in heaven. Now that's not the truth. And the truth is important. It really is. If it wasn't important, God wouldn't have printed it for us, or under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit had men to pen it and preserve it from this generation forever. We got it. It'll never go away because God said it'd never go away. The Bible will be with us till he calls all his people home and he burns up the heavens and the earth. It'll be here because it is the God of heaven that is preserving it. My sheep hear my voice. Well, you back over in John 5 and 25, it says, verily, verily, the hour is coming and now is. We know that's not the folks in the grave. It's not the resurrection of the dead. Verse 28 says, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. There's going to be that day that the wicked are coming out with the righteous, the unrighteous. They're all coming out. Everybody's going to come out of this grave and every knee is going to bow to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can take that to the bank. You can take it to the bank. I don't care if they're a born child, again, child of God, or they're not. They're going to bow their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to happen. My sheep hear my voice. He says, verily, the verily, the hour is coming and now is. So when Jesus spoke it, it was happening at that very time. And he says it's coming. And it's coming until the last child of grace is born, until the Lord folds this up and brings it to an end. How long that is, I don't know. God didn't give me any special vision to tell me when the end of time was going to be. But it's not going to be that long. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. He knows us. He knew us before the foundation of the world. He says, and I know them, and they follow me. That's interesting. He didn't say, I know them, and they might follow me if the preacher gets there. They might believe on me if the neighbor comes over and tells me about them. We're told that he will write his laws in our minds and put them in our hearts. He says, we shall be a people unto him and he shall be our God. We're told in Hebrews chapter 8. When you go to the wills and the shalls of the Bible, it's what happens with you and I is not dependent upon whether you and I make the right move, put together the right decision, come across accidentally the right person, or whatever the case may be. It's dependent upon the sovereign God of heaven. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper whereunto the thing that I have sent it. He sent redemption unto his people in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's going to accomplish its very purpose right down to the very last person. Every drop of blood that was shed by Jesus Christ was shed for someone, and not a drop of it was shed in vain. All for whom Christ died for will live with him in heaven. He says, they're my sheep. They belong to me. Second of all, he says, I know them. He says, I've known them from everlasting to everlasting. There's not ever been a time that I didn't know them. According to the world, God doesn't know who his people are yet. And that won't be brought to a conclusion until the end of time. But I'm telling you right now, he knows every one of them by name. He knows the number of hairs upon their head. He knows all there is to know about them. He knows your heart better than you know it yourself. This is the God that you and I serve. My sheep hear my voice. And when they hear his voice, there is a change that takes place in their life. They may not become the best Christian. They may not become the best disciple. But they have something in them that desires God. Whereas previous to that, they have no desire for God, they have no love for God, and they want not to walk in his ways. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. It tells us there that those who he knows, the same folks who are going to follow him, he says they're going to have eternal life. It says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Well, the doctrine of preservation is brought out there by Jesus Christ himself. He says, my people will be preserved by my power. Notice what he says. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And that includes Satan. Satan was loosed for a season. He's having a heyday in the United States of America. He's winning a lot of battles, but he lost the war, I'm here to tell you. He lost the war at the cross of Calvary when Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and paid for every sin that you ever had, you are, or ever will commit. And because he paid the price in full, the truth is, you're going to live with him in heaven. As miserably as you and I have failed on this old earth, our inability to do what we ought to do. And you know, I was over at the Harmony Plains Singing School several weeks back, and I talked to someone who had grew up in the Primitive Baptist Church, and was very influenced, but yet they believed that the individual had something to do with their salvation. The truth has never been popular, and it's never been very understood. It never has. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And immediately they took up stones to stone him. They didn't like the doctrine then, and honestly, they don't like the doctrine now. And I'm not talking about, there's a lot of God's children that don't like the truth that Jesus spoke now. The truth has never been popular. It's never been desirable. Man has always wanted to be in control of his own fate. The problem is, it's like Brother George says, you know, some people say, well, we're all working to get to the same place. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all get there. We really would. We'd all end up in hell, burning in the lake of fire forever and ever if it wasn't for the grace of God. But the truth has never been desirable, and it was not desirable to these folks. And some of these folks were God's children. Don't think they wasn't. There's many of God's children that don't understand the truth today. You know, back in the times of the Apostle Paul, as he was preaching not long ago, when he was out rounding up men and women and casting them into prisons or dungeons, if you would, he really believed he was doing a great service for God. Those who follow the letter and don't show grace, they believe they're doing a great service for God. They really do. They believe they're doing something to really make God happy. You know, there was a time that Christians were being put to death, and those that put them to death thought they were doing great service to God. Read John chapter 8. Folks today believe that by casting folks out, they're doing a great service to God, but the truth is really important. They never did like the truth then. Many don't like the truth now. It's never been popular. And I say it'll never be popular in the multitudes. There'll be those who believe it and understand it and rejoice in it, but it won't be by the multitudes, even though there'll be a great multitude of those folks that didn't understand it, that didn't believe it, will reside in heaven with God. Because they're his sheep, they heard his voice, and they believe on him. But they're like these folks. They just can't understand that they didn't have a role. They didn't have a part in it. They must have some way been a means to their end. But just as you well know, when you were born naturally in this life, you had nothing to do with coming forth from your mother's womb. We'll look at that a little closer, the truth. I want to go to Matthew chapter 11 and read a few verses that are often read and taken out of context, I believe. It says in Matthew 11, verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. I believe that verse tells us that there's folks that probably are not highly educated. And there may be some that are highly educated because Paul was the most educated Pharisee we read about. There are some, but there's a lot of folks that are not extremely smart, well educated, that the simplistic truths have been revealed to. You know, some people are too smart for their own good and they can't understand these things, if you would. These have been revealed. That's the key we know. And hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. We have so many questions asked to us about God's word. And this is the answer that a lot of them need to be given. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in his sight. If it was good in God's sight, it ought to be good in your sight, anyone's sight. If it was good with God, it ought to be good with us. All things were delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son. Now listen to this verse. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. It didn't say to whomsoever the preacher will reveal him, the neighbor will reveal him, the brother in Christ, the friend down the road, the family member. You know, we're told in Matthew chapter 16, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. He had just asked Peter, who do you say that I am? He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus literally said, you could not say that and believe it in your heart had God the Father not revealed it unto you. Now, many will come to the verse 28, and they'll say, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Folks, he just told us who's going to come to him, did he not? Those to whom he has revealed himself to, revealed the Father to. Not whom I reveal it to or you reveal it, but whom Jesus Christ reveals it to. If you're here today, I believe you're here because Jesus revealed the Father in your heart. The Spirit of God is in you because it's been revealed to you by God and not by man. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, let's think a little bit about this truth and what you and I have to do with believing, having a desire to serve God, to come to church. We find a couple of interesting cases in Luke chapter 1, in verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. Well, this is John the Baptist before he was born, before he come forth from his mother's womb. When he heard of the salutation of Jesus Christ, Mary being pregnant with that from the Holy Ghost, he leaped in his mother's womb. He hadn't heard the gospel preached. He had not been talked to by mom or dad. He hadn't come forth. He was not able to physically act. I guess you could say the leaping was an act, but he was still encalmed in the water of his mother's womb, and he leaped for joy when he heard the salutation of Jesus Christ. There's no man can take credit for what happened there, is what I'm saying. That was a miracle in itself of God Almighty. Now, when we think about those things, let's look at the thief on the cross. If you would, go to Mark 15 and 27. We have another instance. We begin to look at an individual, a young infant who had not been born yet. Now we're going to look at an older person whose life is about to come to an end. In Mark 15 and 27, I believe it is. And the superscription of the verse 26's accusation was written, the King of the Jews, verse 27, and with him they crucify two thieves, one on the right hand and another on his left. Now, we know something took place different with the one on the right than did on the left, but there's some different illustrations given to us in the gospel. In verse 32, it says, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross. They said, if you're God, come down from this cross and prove to us. I mean, he had already proved it over and over and over. Come down from the cross that we may see and believe. You know, they constantly wanted another miracle. They constantly wanted something else so they could claim they would be able to believe. That teaches me, unless God reveals himself to you, you ain't never going to believe. And he hadn't. And it says that we may believe, and they that were crucified with him reviled him. I mean, they said terrible things, both of them. Not one of them, both of them. So here's two men. They were criminals, if you would, taken with Jesus to be crucified and nailed to the cross. Something happens to one of them. Let's notice then, in the book of Luke, on this same occasion, Luke 23, it says in verse 32, and there were also two other malefactors. In the book of Luke, they call them malefactors, the two thieves on the cross, led with him to be put to death. So as they headed down this road to the cross, these two malefactors, these two thieves were headed down there. In the book of Mark, it tells us they were both reviled Christ, said terrible things to him, was accusing him if he was God to come down. But something happened to this man as they journeyed down to Goliath, to where Golgotha, I said that wrong, but where the cross was at Calvary. Let's notice verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Let's go on down to verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, or get verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. One of these malefactors had decided that he deserved what he was getting. Have you ever noticed that? When a child of God comes to understand God's grace, he's so thankful for grace because he knows that if he gets what he deserves, it won't be grace. It'll be cast into the lake of the fire where the worm dieth not and the fire never is quenched. He says, verse 39, And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Verse 40, But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art the same in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. This man had decided that whatever he was going to get, he deserved it. I believe that's where every child of God, when he comes to understand grace, is brought to. He understands that if he was to get what he deserved, he would have no hope in this life or any hope in heaven. It's only by the grace of God. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss, talking about Jesus. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We've seen this John the Baptist before he come from his mother's womb. At the salutation of Jesus Christ, he leaped in his mother's womb. We know that a miracle was performed upon him. We know that man had nothing to do with it. We know that Jesus called him. He was one of the dead spiritually. He called him at that time when he was conceived in his mother's womb before he came forth. We see a man here about to be put to death. And a great change. And neither one of them had the gospel preached to them. Neither one of them had a preacher there. Something changed in the lives of these men. And it was the power of God, the same miracle I believe that has worked in your heart, in my heart. You know, I didn't have the experience of the Apostle Paul. I wasn't walking down a road and got struck down by a great light. But I believe every one of us have went through that same experience if we're here today and we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as we think about the world today and the truth's not popular. The world's out trying to populate heaven. They're out trying to help Jesus garner more folks to go to heaven. But I'm here to tell you that all that were given to Jesus by the Father are going to be there. I'm going to close with a few verses here in a moment in John 6 and 44 that I believe are some of the most important verses in all the Bible. John 6 and 44 says, No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. He didn't say that due to certain conditions and uncertain reasons that these men wouldn't come. He says they can't come. No man can come. It's about as plain and simple as that. If you've come to Christ and you've come to love him and come to know him, there's a reason for that. It wasn't because of me, and it wasn't because of yourself. It wasn't because you picked up the right book and read the right paragraph and opened the right chapter one day and things all changed for you. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Do you know that word draw in the Greek means to drag? Like dragging one of your kids that was throwing a fit outside one day into your house. They didn't come willingly, did they? They could throw a fit and be crying and stomping and jumping up and down, knowing they're fixing to get a whipping, but they don't come willingly. That word draw means to drag them. We didn't come willingly to God either. He drew us. He drug us to himself. It is written in the prophets And they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Who is it that comes to Jesus Christ? Those that are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Those who are drawn to him, to Jesus Christ by the Father. It says in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. These are the ones that come. This is the truth. Those folks didn't like it in those days, and many don't like it today. But the truth's important, or God would not have given it to us in his word, to study, to read, to preach from, to be encouraged by. It goes on in verse 46, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Not he who will believe will get everlasting life. He already has everlasting life if he truly believes. Because he was called out of darkness into the marvelous light of God. When he was dead in trespasses and sins, a great miracle was performed upon him. God revealed himself unto that man, whereas he had never been revealed and understood. Yes, you may have heard of Jesus Christ, but not in the manner of the heart that you do now. The love that you have for him, the desire and hope that you have to depart this old life and be in heaven, a place of glory where there'll be no more pain and crying and suffering and sleepless nights, sicknesses and all the troubles that we go through every day. For the child of God, that is a great hope that we have over and over in our life. But this truth was so important that Jesus repeated it in the same verse. We should always understand that. Verse 65 says, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. You can't deny those truths, and they're very simple. That's not some language that's way out there in left field that the average person can't understand. Jesus just said, unless God the Father performs in you the great miracle, you will never come to Jesus. You will never come. You will not come to know him. You will not come to believe upon him. No matter what somebody does or says, when you begin to talk to folks that don't care about God, you'll find out that they have no interest. They may listen to you. It's going in one ear and out the other. If you're here today and you love the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you today, you are a picture of a miracle that has been performed in this world. Because it shows the exceeding power of God when he worked in your heart. That's the truth. And that's the truth about every child of God, whether they understand it or not. We're told, therefore stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Many of God's children today are entangled in the yoke of bondage because they don't understand this truth. But the truth's important. It's always been important, and it always will be important in every area of our life. Not just about being called out of darkness into his life, but how we treat others, how we deal with others in the government, in our society, our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters. Truth is important, but truth is gotten away from folks. Most folks don't care about the truth anymore. They want to hear what they want to hear. It's kind of like the days that things were so corrupt in the book of Judges. Every man wants to do what's right in his own eyes. If I like it, I want to do it. You need to leave me alone. But the truth's important, and the truth has been given to us about life and every part of life in God's Word. And we ought to take that, and we ought to treasure it. We ought to hold on to it for the rest of our days because it is important. It's important. When you look at the chaos that's going on and the lies that take place in the land today, especially as I mentioned in politics, I'm not here to preach about politics, but there's probably, you know, it tells us that Satan is the father of lies. Well, I tell you, I believe he's having a heyday in that arena. He's having a heyday among God's people, even in that arena. He is the father of lies. He wants us to believe a lie, and a lie is far more easy to believe than the truth. So if you believe the truth, don't let anybody take it from you. Purchase the truth and hold on to it. Make it be dear and near to you. Don't ever let go of it because God said it's important. And I believe it's important for each and every one of us to know the truth and to live our lives in truth, to be truthful to everyone in every aspect. And to honor God's word. May God bless you.